Proverbs 5, 1 through 14. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor to others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Sugar-coated poison is still poison. It may appear to be something else. People may say it is something else. It may taste like something else, but it is not. It is poison. When all is said and done, and the final results are in, it is not candy, but wormwood. It may be sweet to the taste, but it will be bitter to the mind and conscience in the end. It is like a sharp two-edged sword. Whichever side strikes will hurt. No one speaks with more authority and confidence than the person who speaks from experience. The skier can tell you the thrill of the ski slope. The surfer can relate the excitement of riding the curl of the wave. The fisherman who has caught a marlin or swordfish can talk of the satisfaction of the battle. In this passage, we have the testimony of a man who has fallen into the temptation and has begun to post warning signs to those who are coming after him. His message is to his son, and in a large sense he is speaking to the youth of the world. He wrote, And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands are bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. The prime objective of Satan is to keep us from pondering the path of life. As long as he can keep our minds off the vital issues of life and keep us enamored with the pleasures of sin, he has won the battle. He does his best to keep us caught up in the passing parade of the temporal and to keep our minds off the eternal joys that can be found in Christ. In today's world, he has lots of allies who propagate his lies and deceit. It is true that we live but for a moment, but we might as well enjoy the sins of the moment. If it is true that there's no life after death, we might as well get as much fun and pleasure out of this life as possible. If it is true that there is no God to judge our sin, why be concerned? So daily, in the classrooms of the University of the Land, this humanistic philosophy is propagated. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? But there is one flaw. There is a life after death. There is a God who will judge the world at the great white throne. The advice given by Solomon here is sound. When faced with this temptation, run, flee, get away. It is to be avoided like we would avoid the street that is prowled by rabid dogs. He says if you fall into this sin, you will give your honor to others. The newspaper headlines tell us that this is true. Men in high places falling from their pinnacle of power into the rotten, polluted hog wallow of shame. Their honor and reputations are gone. They have been ruined, just as Solomon predicted thousands of years before. To look upon this temptation lightly is to cast the Bible into the face of God. He has given fair warning. The smartest thing we can do is heed it.